Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. Name of this program is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. Would like to hear from you. If you get a chance, visit the website and hit the email link there and send me a message. Let me know what you think of these studies. Any questions, comments, anything at all, would like to hear from you. We've been going through the book of Exodus, having finished Genesis, and we've got all the way to about chapter 13. We're just about to finish up chapter 13. The Passover was covered, and now it came to pass in verse 17. When Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Well, he wasn't worried about them repenting from their sins. He was worried about them repenting from leaving Egypt. Because what does repent mean? You know, in the world, when people hear the word repent, all they think of is something they don't want to do. They think about guilt for their sins, because that's the connotation of the word repent today. But basically, the word repent means to change your mind. And we have it here. It's a Hebrew word here. Of course, now most people are familiar with the word repent from when our Messiah, Yahshua, called Jesus, you said, repent for the kingdom is at hand. But here in the Hebrew, it's na-kam, and it means, by implication, to be sorry. To be sorry that they left Egypt, basically. That's the idea. Lest that peradventure the people will be sorry when they see war and they return to Egypt, go running back to Egypt, right? He wanted to lead them straight into the promised land. But these people weren't ready for war. One, all the male children, the practice had been for up to 40 years that the male children were killed by the Egyptians. They were practicing infanticide in an effort to keep the children of Israel in bondage, to keep them from growing stronger. So there weren't many males under 40 years old in Israel. Most of these, the children of Israel, had been in bondage, had grown up in Egypt, really knew no other life. And a few of them held on to the promise, and they had the bones of Joseph in waiting, because Joseph told them that the time would come that Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, would visit them and lead them out and into the land that was promised to their father Abraham. So they're on their way out, finally, after 430 years and a great tribulation, and more of a tribulation at the end there for Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. So God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And Yahuwah, the Lord, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14, the book of Exodus. And Yahuwah, the Lord, spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihah-Chiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Well, you know, they're journeying. I don't know how many days it took them to get to this place by the sea. And Pharaoh has time to recoup, regroup, and rethink. In verse 4 here, chapter 14, Yahuwah, speaking to Moses, continues, and he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am Yahuwah. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. So, you know, the king's getting reports, and yes, they're all gone. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. Well, you can imagine. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? You know, I mean, they had it made, you know, for at least 200 years of the 430-year captivity of Israel. They've had the children of Israel in bondage as their servants, and their slavery and their cruelty just became more severe, and of course their servitude. And they became lazy. They probably didn't know how to plant their fields. And they certainly didn't tend the flocks. They thought that was an abomination. They grew accustomed to the servitude. And who was going to build their treasure cities? Certainly not the city folks. They were counting on those Hebrew slaves from over there in Goshen to do all that work for them. And now here they are, the children of Israel gone. They suffered great losses. Everything's gone, including their firstborn. They've had just enough time to think and say, wow, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Well, Pharaoh, he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captives over every one of them. And Yahuwah, the Lord, hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi-hah-Keroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Yahuwah, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? And I imagine there were some people going, shut up! Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahuwah. And here's the word salvation. I got to just pause here a minute to cover this. The word salvation is the Hebrew word Yeshua. And since we've been studying the name, I like to pick up on it whenever I can. The name Yeshua, a lot of people use that now as the name of the Savior, rather than his proper name, Yahushua. But Yeshua does mean salvation, but it is not the name of the Messiah. And a lot of people call the name of the Lord, Yahuwah, they call him Yahweh. It's a truncated and more or less a Greek interpolation or transliteration of the name, but it's not proper. The name Yeshua does, the word Yeshua, and that's the Hebrew 34:44. If you've got your e-sword out, you can just mouse over it with me, and you'll see it, Yeshua, and it means salvation or saved. But the name Yahushua means something else. It means that Yahuwah is our salvation. It is the form of both the name of the Creator and this word, Yeshua. And it means that literally means, if I were to interpret it into the English language, the name Yahushua means Yahuwah is our salvation, or I could say our Creator is our salvation. And that is the reason that he had the name above all names. So his name is not Yeshua, and neither is it Yahweh. And if you're interested in the study on the name, like I said, find my email link there at crosstheborder.org and email me and ask me for that study, and I will make sure that you have a link to it. So, just a side note there. We're in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 for reference if you want to look at that later, at the word salvation there, the Hebrew 34:44, the Hebrew word being Yeshua. Okay, and see the salvation of the Lord, it says in the King James Version, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yahuwah, the Lord, shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, what's going to happen here? What do you think's going to happen if the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, did not intervene? What do you think would happen? Well, they would round them up and forcibly take the children of Israel back to Egypt. How many of them would die? Or would they just faint and surrender and be marched back into Egypt? And just think how poorly they would be treated because of all that was happening. Just think of the wrath. You know how it is after a war. I mean, or at least you should know how it is after a war. You know, what happened in Germany? What did the Russians do after Germany surrendered? They slaughtered the Germans. They slaughtered most of the people. And what about the Civil War here in America? Were they kind? Was the North kind to the South? Were they kind to the rebels? The so-called rebels? No, they slaughtered them. And if they would not bend the knee, they killed them immediately. That's what was in store for the children of Israel. So they would have had to fight, but they weren't trained to fight. They didn't have weapons of war. They were disarmed by the Egyptians. Only the Egyptian army had armaments. The Hebrews were disarmed, remember? They were a slave population. No nation arms its slaves. As a matter of fact, that's a sign of a nation in slavery, is the disarmament of the nation. We've got governments out here that are trying to enslave the whole world. They're doing a good job. Of course, in some ways they're not doing a very good job, because they've enslaved a nation here, the nation that I live in. Of course, at the same time, they've outlawed slavery. Right. They've just enforced a new type of slavery. But it is slavery nonetheless. And they've begun to disarm the people, but they found that it's easier if you can get people to volunteer into slavery rather than force them into slavery, especially if you can chant the mantra to them and get them to repeat it, that, hey, this is the freest country in the world, and this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Just keep repeating the mantra over and over and over while the chains of your slavery get heavier and heavier and heavier. That's what's going on here. I guess the enemy of mankind has learned his lessons from history. So, Yahuwah, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, is going to fight for Israel. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yahuwah shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, I am Yahuwah, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians, and the camp of Israel. And it was cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night, so that the one came not near the other all night. So here they are all night, camped by the sea, and the cloud is between them, and it's a fire between them. And Pharaoh's army, you know, wanting to go in there, wanting to destroy and take captive whatever the residue would be of their wrath upon the children of Israel. And they couldn't pass by that the pillar of fire at night. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, Yahuwah, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord, Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, fighteth for them against us. You know, you'd think they'd see this pillar of fire. I mean, they hadn't seen this before. They'd seen a lot of things in the last, whatever, week or whatever it was that all of these plagues and signs were worked on Israel. And now they're standing up against a pillar of a cloud and a fire. You'd think, you'd go, man, we can't win this one. Now they're going to follow them into the sea. These people are, their hearts are pretty hardened. And I'll bet you there was some balking there, but, you know, they knew the penalty for defiance to Pharaoh. I mean, that was death instantly. And now their chariot wheels are falling off, and they drove them. I mean, you could imagine, they're in the middle of the sea now. Their chariot wheels are falling off. They're stuck, basically. And the children of Israel, well, they're getting out on the other side. You know, they're passing through the Red Sea. The wall is like, the water's like a wall on each side. Now they're out on the other side, and the Egyptians are bogged down in the middle of the sea. And Yahuwah, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned his strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left. You know, if I had walked through the middle of the sea, if I'd seen the sea depart, you know, I think I would be pretty confident after that, thinking, man, there nothing can come near us. Whatever Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, whatever the Lord says to do, we're going to do that because He's on our side. He's fighting for us. It doesn't matter. We cannot be defeated. You'd think they would have that kind of confidence. Well, how long does that confidence last? Oh, we will see. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which Yahuwah did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared Yahuwah and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They feared. Well, it's a pretty frightening thing to see, you know, hundreds, thousands of Egyptians floating, dead, in the Red Sea. Yeah, they drowned after walking through it themselves. They believed, it says. They believed Yahuwah, the Lord, and his servant Moses. Chapter 15. Then sang Moses and all the children of Israel this song unto Yahuwah, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto Yahuwah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yahuwah is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, this is a song, and I'll bet you they weren't singing in English. You know, a lot of people have this misconception. They say that the King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God. You know, and I was taught that too, and I believed it for a long time. But you know what? It isn't. It isn't the Word of God. Maybe I could put it another way. A lot of people act as if they believe that the Bible was actually written in King James English, or whatever version they have. They actually act as if it was written in our language, and it wasn't. The King James Version of the Bible is not the Word of God. It is a translation of the Word of God. We can hear the Word of God through it by His Spirit. Even His Word says that the letter killeth, and you know, it's talking about the physical letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth is that which gives life. It's not the letter that is important. It is the Spirit that's important. It's what the Holy Spirit can do through the Word, whatever translation, even the worst translations out there, can be used by our Heavenly Father, by His Holy Spirit, to speak His Word into your heart, because His Word is Spirit. It is life. It's not the dead letter. But then again, when it comes to studying the Word, that's why I love the tools that we have today. You know, there's no way that the Reformers could have the simple grasp as easily as we have right now by this tool that we have right now. What a wonderful tool. You know, I have, you know, because I've been in biblical studies now for 35 years, and I've worn out, you know, a number of books, the paperback, you know, the Bibles, and I've got the big books, the Young's Concise Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible with the Hebrew and the Greek, and I've got the Strong's, you know, the actual hardbound big copy of the book, and it is difficult to study. It was nice to have those tools, and it didn't seem difficult then, but by comparison, it's cumbersome and difficult compared to this. Go to the eSword, e-sword.net, and download the eSword program. Well, we're going into a break. We'll be back in a few minutes.